Life with the Girlfriends with Christy, Marie, and Julie. And I was jamming so much, I almost forgot to come in.
I know. I'm just, I'm back in France in the 60s.
I know you are.
It was
always.
It was so wonderful. I mean, we wore striped tops and the little berets and
tight pants.
We smoked our cigarettes, these long things, you know, like.
They were so
darling.
Yourself. Yes.
And, you know, we fell in love every other day.
Every other
yes.
day.
I can't even tell you how many mimes I've had.
Too many to mention. And they're not mentioning any of it.
And they'll never tell.
They'll never tell.
Thank God.
Exactly. And how did you have time in between your poetry and your you know, tambourining?
Yes, I will.
And your snapping.
Snap my fingers.
How did you have time for all those mimes?
And, you know, I was the poet laureate of France at Paris at that time.
Were you now?
Oh, yes. And I rise, and I rise, and I rise.
Great. I love it.
And I did haikus as well.
Yes. Now,
you know my favorite haiku?
Yes, please tell me your favorite haiku.
Yeah. My favorite haiku at that time was called Ode to Eliot. I saw you eat poo. You wanted to kiss me, but I saw you eat poo. Just, I guess it's important to know that Eliot's a doggy.
Yes.
He wasn't a mime.
No, thank you, God. But it's, yeah. Thank you, God. It wasn't a mime.
Eliot was a mime, no.
You know, I have this little groggle going on in my throat. I'm not sure what that's about.
What?
A little groggling thing, graggling.
Okay.
I know that's not a word. There's this, I was listening long, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, about this new, like the new generation, the 20-year-olds, 20, 30-year-olds have this voice quality that irritates people older than 50.
Oh, you're kidding me, because
no.
I believe that. There are people that I'm just, you know, like watching on the TV. Like, for example, on HGTV, there's this one called Flip or Flop, or I think it's called that. It's Tariq and Christina.
Yeah.
Her voice. And it's interesting because this is their, I don't know, second or third season.
Right.
And they're trying to, you can tell they're amping up their game a little bit more. And they're bringing her into the dynamic just a bit more. And so she talks more. And it just is like, just like fingernails on a blackboard to me.
Well, it's so funny because this woman from NPR, I think it was a producer on This American Life, and she would do stories sometimes. And she says, I always hate it when I, or maybe it was Serial. I don't know what it was, but it was some NPR show. And she was telling about how the complaints that she got about her voice. And that he's like, I'm going to have to change the channel because I cannot hear her talk any longer. And she's like, what do I do with that? How do I change my
voice?
How do
I change that?
And she said, there was an actual segment on it, and they called it a certain thing on the Today Show.
Mm.
And then they had to apologize for it because they were saying it was only women that had it. And it was it was women and men at this age generation.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a study that in college they would listen to people talk with this, and that generation doesn't find it offensive. They find it authoritative. And so we're not, and I can barely pick it up. And I sometimes hear it in my own voice, and what it sounds like is there's that little gravel, almost like an undertone of something.
Hmm. Okay, well, you've got me totally curious about this. So you'll have to, to be continued, because I want to know more about this.
Right.
Because this is just recently I have found a certain, just a certain genre of, it's been women really for me, that I cannot listen to their voice.
Well,
and one of them is on the, is one of the housewives of Beverly Hills. No, New York.
Is she the youngest one?
It's the one that's the model that they have. They say she has the sour face.
Yes, I think she's the youngest one.
Her voice just drives me insane.
Yeah, and it's so funny, like you said, it's not men's voice, and it's, I don't know what that's about, but it's kind of interesting to hear this. And I wish I had, it just came to me, so I'm not prepared with all the facts.
No, but you're going to find out. Well, like I said, to be continued. And now I'm so grateful that I had so many mimes. They just didn't talk.
Thank you, God.
It was either it's wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
And they do it and they act it out like,
yes.
Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
It's all acting out, yes.
So what's like wham is like Batman, like pop you in the face. Wham. Bam.
Yeah, like there's a lot of wind blowing.
Exactly. Or like they get blown out the door.
Yes, it's time for you to go.
Yeah.
Go blow out the door.
Blow away. Blow out the door. Or blow on the door, and then you act, blow on the door, hit you in the butt. Something like that. Yes, you had this whole other life before you met Dad.
Yes.
And got married and popped out, too. And
well, we're back in France in the 60s, sweetie.
That's right. That's right.
It was all so wonderful. We used to do the frug and the go-go dancing.
The frug?
The frug, yes.
Oh.
If you've never done the frug, then... You know.
You're missing out.
You are missing out.
All right. Yeah, cool.
Now it just hurt my back.
Well, anyway, today we got a pretty big show ahead.
We got a big show
big
tonight?
Big show today.
A really big shoe.
A really big shoe. And it's a wide variety of show tonight. Things we want to talk
but
about.
Who are we, though? Mm-hmm. We're Life with a Girlfriend.
For
it's
Christine
about
Marie
life.
And Julie.
Isn't it about life?
It's about life and making it better. And really...
There's always
the meeting, the lesson.
There's always a little takeaway, isn't there?
There is.
I'm Christine Marie, and I'm your mama.
And I'm Julie, and I'm the daughter.
But mostly we're girlfriends.
That's right. And we just, for the course of the week, we pick up on stuff. We're both law of attraction coaches, certified.
Yes.
I'm a former teacher. You're also a...
psychotherapist.
And a
psychotherapist.
Yes.
Certifiable psychotherapist.
That's right. And you talk to the dead.
Friend.
You're able to talk to the dead.
Yes, I do.
Which is nice.
Yes.
And it's funny, too.
I mean, I had to tell the Tesla group, you know, that I tried, but he's too far gone.
Exactly.
Sometimes they just, you know, it's really difficult
yeah.
to...
They've moved on.
Yeah.
They don't care about us anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I heard... I heard this one story.
I might have for enough money, but no,
you're
just trying. Just kidding.
Well, it's funny because you told me a few things that you picked up from Tesla.
Right.
And you're like, I'm not really getting a connection, but if I was going to say anything, it was these two things.
Mm-hmm.
And one was he really loved his mom.
Yes, very
really
close.
Loved his mom.
Yes, very close.
And he liked pierogies.
Yes.
Now, I didn't find the pierogi part in any internet site, mm-hmm. but I did find that he was very close to his mother.
And that she cooked for him.
Yeah, so she could have very well
of
cooked
course.
For pierogies. I
of
just
course.
Don't know.
Yeah.
And we can never verify
and just
it.
Because Wikipedia doesn't honor the fact that Tesla loved his mama's pierogies doesn't mean a damn thing.
Doesn't mean it didn't exist.
No.
But, you know, you weren't given any downloadable equations.
I'll never tell.
Exactly. He said, I'm going to tell you this.
I may come out with something. I have a patent pending.
Patent pending. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So it was you that brought the idea of this, the electric car, the Tesla. That's right. So anyway, we're going to talk about all this stuff. And
so tell us what the show is going to be about, darling.
Well, what we do is, through the course of our week, we hear great stories about people, situations that come up that we need assistance in, and having our growth. And our spiritual growth, our business growth, and we want to bring it out to everybody and share it. And because we know it's about more life. And we want to do it in a way that people maybe leave the smile on their face.
And also, like last week, you know, we do a little therapy on each other.
Hello. You listened to the podcast last week.
I did.
It was really good, but there were a few uncomfortable silences.
As you're reflecting and digging deep.
Yes. And I'm okay with that.
No, yeah.
And I've had a very productive week, people, if you're wondering, you know.
That's right. Well, I'm a therapist. I'm supposed to ask those kind of questions.
Exactly.
And you're a coach.
I know. And so I'm supposed to be able to ask those questions as well.
Yes, right.
And then give them answers. Give myself answers. But we're going to talk about this wonderful woman who passed away a while ago, I think. I don't know when. But Corrie ten Boom.
Right.
Corrie ten Boom.
Right.
She's Dutch. She's a Christian. But I love her story because she was in a concentration camp because she was hiding Jews in her house.
Right.
And it's just a sweet,
Now, are we going to talk about the story now, or are you going to tell more about what's going
on? I'm going to tell more about this a little bit. I mean, tell more what was going to happen as well.
Okay, go ahead.
Because we're going to lead into that with, mm-hmm. with the idea of the 4th of July coming up and the idea of freedom through our eyes in America mm-hmm. and through the eyes of someone who's not American but has come and visited.
Yes.
And
yes.
what that means.
Right.
And I also want to talk about the different opinions that people have, you know, and how...
You know
for
what
me,
they say about yeah. opinions?
It's like a butthole.
Well, I was going to say an armpit.
Oh, okay.
But if you want to say butthole on the radio,
it's like everybody
go
has
ahead.
I guess an armpit would work, too. Everybody has two. And it sometimes smells when you don't use deodorant.
Okay, girlfriend.
Okay, so... And then I want to talk about this idea of going with the quality of life.
Yes.
We believe we have freedom.
Yes.
And yet sometimes our freedom, we're
yes.
chasing other things, and yet we forget, like, it is about the quality of life.
Yeah,
we can
you know,
die any day.
For the last several weeks, we've been all about focus, and our kind of our focus has shifted now to quality of life.
Yes.
To be able to, we've been... talking a lot about the Bible quote that when God adds riches to you, he does not add trouble,
toil.
Sorrow, or toil to that equation.
Right.
And so in working with that, you know, we're going to be talking about that.
We're going to be talking about that, and we're going to be talking about my epiphany that I had this week near the end of the show. And the little 21-day thing I'm going through as
well. Oh, that's right,
your
epiphany. That's mm-hmm. right.
Exactly.
You know what they say about epiphanies? just kidding.
I'm
trying to
stretching.
Be funny.
I'm stretching. Yeah. I'm trying to figure that out. So let's go back to Corrie Ten Boom, because we mm-hmm. heard her on a show, heard about her story. This woman, and I don't remember her name, is an actress.
Oh, okay, I can clue you in on that.
Okay.
The actress that does the stage play of Corrie Ten Boom, as Corrie Ten Boom, is Evelyn Hines.
Okay.
And she does... this an hour stage play all over the world.
Right.
And what's interesting is Corrie Ten Boom in the late 60s came to my high school.
Yes.
It was an all-girl
Catholic
high school, navy blue and white uniforms mm-hmm. and everything. And so she came, and I at that time the Diary of Anne Frank was very popular. So in my mind, I kind of lost Corrie's story. I kind of got it mixed up with Anne Frank, who was this Jewish child who was being hidden
right.
in a house.
Right.
Diary of Anne Frank is exactly, yeah. So you go ahead and tell what you, and I'll just keep adding into there.
Okay. So Corrie Ten Boom, I love her name, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Her family was devout Christians, and devoted, both. And it was her mom, her father, her sister, and a brother, I believe.
And a cousin.
Yeah.
And they all lived in this house.
And they were hiding Jews.
Yeah.
And a neighbor, who they thought was a friend and a fellow Christian, turned them in as people who were hiding the Jews. They came in, searched, didn't find, and they took them all off to a concentration camp.
They took this Dutch family
this
out.
Whole Dutch,
yeah. They couldn't
this whole
find
Dutch
the
family out
right.
of there.
Yeah, but they couldn't find the family that they were hiding.
No,
they looked for 4 days.
They couldn't find
them.
So wherever they hid them, it was in a good spot.
You bet.
So that's pretty fascinating. And couldn't find them, and so they hung into the concentration camp, and her father said, you know what? I think I'm too old for this.
Yeah.
And he didn't make it, 10 days?
Yeah, I think he died just 10 days into the concert.
But his faith was good. I mean, he was okay with this.
Yes.
He had lived a life. He lived it with integrity, and he knew he did the right thing, even at risk of his own family. And he passed away. And then her mom passed away.
Correct.
And then finally her brother and cousin, her brother passed away, and her cousin was taken away while they were at the concentration camps.
Never to be seen.
Never to be
again,
seen again.
Right, yeah.
So it was really just Edwene and her sister.
Well, her name is Corey.
Corey.
And her sister Betsy.
Corey and Betsy.
Yeah, and they were two sisters that, you know, hung on to each other in this concentration camp. And the reason we know these stories is that, you know, you can see the stage play. You can buy the DVD
right.
and of Evelyn Hines as Corrie ten Boom. And she tells this story of her sister saying, oh, you know, Corrie, I don't think I can take the lice and the fleas anymore. You know, and then and she says, but we must thank God for the lice and the fleas because it's so bad in here that when the German officers think about even coming in here, they don't want to get their uniforms dirty and with, you know, infested with the lice or the fleas. And so they leave us alone.
Yes.
And so we must thank God. Their faith was so simple and just amazing compared to, you know, where we're at today, you know. And tell the story, if you can, about the little hanky that
yes,
Corrie had.
But can I add to the last story a
oh,
little
bit?
Oh,
you bet, you bet.
What I love about this story is that she never talks about, God, why am I here?
Right.
How about getting me out of this concentration camp?
Right.
Instead, they're finding the miracles and the mysteries in the conflicts, in the
right.
in the poop in some sense. Right.
Right.
There's always a pony around, there's a poop or whatever. But
if there's a big pile of poop, yeah, there must be a pony here.
And so here they are, and they're actually teaching Bible school.
Yes.
They're having Bible study.
Yes, because they were able to sneak a Bible in.
Yes.
In this line, and for some reason, the guards did not see this.
And it would have been horrific if they found it, but
yes.
they didn't find it.
Right.
And because they had lice and because they had fleas, they were able to have these meetings basically in plain sight
mm-hmm.
because nobody wanted to be around them.
Right.
Or they would have gotten the fleas. They would have gotten the lice.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, wow, what an interesting miracle.
I know.
And
you talk about, you know, we talk about, you know, that kind of faith.
And not judging the way it worked out.
No, that's what I mean.
I mean,
that's where I find myself, like, I would be saying, you know, what? How did this happen, God? You know?
Or God, why can't I have just won the lottery by now? I believe. I have a mustard seed of faith to win the lottery, God. And, you know, so, or God, can I get out of this concentration camp? What do you think about that?
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Instead of, you know, tossing me a hanky.
Do we have to have World War II here? What's this about?
Yeah, I know. I mean, you know. But these are, and I don't know in the old days if that we had that kind of faith that we expect now.
Right.
I mean, there's such a greater expectation of faith than in those old days where it was like, okay, this is where I'm at, but, you know, God is still here in this moment, you know.
Well, and one of the other stories was that Corey goes to her sister, Betty or Betsy?
Betsy.
And says, you know, Betsy goes, how are you feeling today? Corey goes, oh, Corey, Betsy, I have a really bad cold, and all I would really want would be a hanky, and I don't have a hanky. And literally within 20 minutes,
mm-hmm.
a woman comes up to her and gives her a hanky and saying, God told me to give you this hanky. I was cutting up old sheets to make as hankies to give to people, and God said, give this to you. And he did, you know, and she did, and it was just a sweet story
mm-hmm.
of how in the midst of hell,
yeah.
of horror, we see the miracles of God everywhere.
That's what Corey said. If I needed proof that there was a God, you know, I asked for a hanky, and 20 minutes later, you know, there's a knock at the barracks window, and she sneaks in. She says, I have this gift for you. You know, God told me that you would need this. And she goes, the foolishness of God, but yet to show me that he was there in the midst of this, you know, such sweet,
right.
sweet faith, unbelievable.
And I've been struggling with this concept, like, well, if God's so great to give her a hanky,
mm-hmm.
working through other people,
mm-hmm.
why couldn't he have the war through other people? And I guess here's the thing, though. Here's what I came up with. The war did end. People were saved. A lot of people died in the process, but hopefully more were saved. And maybe this is how it had to be to counteract whatever else was going on in the world. I mean, I don't know.
I don't either. This is where I get to, like, okay, then I have to just, the mystery must supersede this, you know, that there is this mystery. And I know I've had friends, when I say that, they go, F the mystery. I'm so tired of it.
I'm so tired of the mystery,
yeah.
Exactly.
But I have no answers for that.
Well, and
except that it is, that faith is a mystery.
Yes.
That, you know, that if, how it grows. And also when we ask for, it doesn't, when all that stuff happens so easily, there's no real reason for faith. I mean, I know I'm coming kind of through the back door that way, but do you kind of understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I remember this one person I listened to. He goes, you know, if you're looking for a miracle, sometimes you have to set your life up for a miracle, because most of the time our lives are so small and not on the edge and so in control that really we don't need miracles to continue or to enjoy. Mm-hmm. We have miracles happen. And I thought that was an interesting perspective that, you know, to get a you know, honestly, the way we live in America, I mean, we don't need a lot of miracles sometimes.
Mm-hmm. In the Corrie ten Boom story is that she gets out of prison, out of the through a clerical error.
Right.
Now,
oh,
I don't necessarily know.
Oh, yeah, her sister does pass away eventually.
Yeah, her sister starves to death.
Yeah.
And so it's just her. And somehow that they said through a clerical error that she gets released, you know.
Yes.
And so she feels that God is tells her that she must go around and so that never again. She must tell the story, tell the message, and her message is that there is a divine plan for you, no matter what.
And you don't know really what your part is of the divine plan sometimes, but to have faith that you are part of the divine plan.
Yeah. She said the two hardest things, though, is that one time she was speaking and the man who betrayed her, their family.
Yeah,
I guess he was Dutch. Or I guess I don't know what country was it. If you were Dutch, would it be in
Holland?
Amsterdam? Oh, Holland. Okay. Yeah. So, I guess he went to prison, and he eventually reaches out to her and says, "I'm sorry for what I did." He got the death penalty, by the way. Mm. And she said, you know, I forgive you, because that's what, you know, I'm compelled to do as a Christian. And she said, I hope that you find, you know, the Lord before you die and all that stuff. But then she said she was at a church in a different country speaking, and after her, I guess she said that after her talk, this guard, she knew right away it was one of the cruelest guards in the concentration camp, and she said that he had beat her sister so hard that she had lost hearing in one ear, you know. And he said, you know, I have found God. I am truly sorry. Can you forgive me? And he extended his hand, and she said it was the hardest thing. But immediately she knew that it was not her that was forgiving, but she felt compelled, you know, to forgive for Christ's sake, you know.
Dad said something about forgiveness
the
other day, and I don't know where he came up with this idea or what his inspiration for whatever this thought was, but I thought it was pretty compelling. He said, we must forgive everyone because only God, Christ, knows the whole situation, the whole reason.
And,
behind everything.
Right, and also, I mean, isn't that one of the commandments at the very, you know, like, forgive others as I have forgiven you, love one another as I have loved you, and forgive.
We kind of are compelled to
forgive,
do that.
Right?
And we know that it helps us more than anything.
Right.
So we know it's good. It's good advice.
Right.
No matter what.
So that we're not drinking our own poison, right? Taking
exactly.
our own poison.
Exactly.
But that was such a, I mean, I cried hearing that story. And Evelyn Hines, H-I-N-D-S, .com. I would love to have her as a guest, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
She's the one that I think in the 90s, she just started feeling compelled to do this. And now it's all around the world. She goes and does her stage play of Corrie ten Boom. And she said that she's met people who have known Corrie and come up to her and go, "Wow, you've lost weight." And didn't even know
that
she's...
I didn't think I was going to see you again. I thought you had passed away.
I'm surprised to see, see you again. So they actually think it's her. It's so cute.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
It is. And to, was that Elie Wiesel?
Yeah, Elie Wiesel. We talked about him a couple of weeks ago.
We did. And, he talks about there will come a time when all the survivors of the Holocaust will be gone. And that's why it's important to share your message, because then the witness becomes a new person.
Right.
And so as...
Because you can imagine that there would be generations now that wouldn't even know this,
For sure. Or it wouldn't be so connected to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I went to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., right? I think it was where it's at. That's where I saw it. This is years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You're horrified. You're just horrified. And you've heard it before, and you've seen the pictures and the images. And then when you see it closer up, you're like, this is just, the lamps made out of human skin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what compelled humans to be so evil?
Mm-hmm.
What compelled them? And it wasn't the first time. I mean, we know we have these episodes in our history where humans just behave so horribly.
Mm-hmm.
And we survived. I think with the killing fields in Cambodia.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I mean.
I'm going to try and get humansbehavinghorribly.com. Can you go on GoDaddy for me?
And try and get that URL?
Yeah.
Sure, I will.
I have a feeling.
Yeah, you have a feeling?
It'll can always, it will always revive itself, right?
Exactly. Even though I know they say that this moment in time, even though we're having all this talk about all the bad stuff coming our way, it's the least amount of violence that we've had in a long time overall.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't sound like it when we have social media and 24-hour news cycles. And and that's why I love that new commercial. I don't know who the company's for. It's about turning it off. I think it's for, like, Dixie cups or something like that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Dark.
Trinette.
Go black. Go black. Turn it off. Go dark. Yes.
Go dark. Turn your stuff off, people. Just listen to the human heart. Just listen to the small, still voice inside of you. What is it saying? It may take a while to get there because everybody is so, you can't even go for a walk without having stuff in your ears.
No. I was just to let you know, I have your phone in my hand. I was going to go to GoDaddy to see if...
Did you?
Well, no, the first thing I opened up was Google Moon UFO.
What's that mean?
Well, I'm looking at a picture of the moon with supposedly a picture of a UFO on it.
Oh, wow, really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. When did you look at that, girlfriend?
I don't remember. I don't remember that.
Probably a long time ago.
Yeah, but humansbehavinghorribly.com?
Yes, I will look that up and see.
Yeah. I would like to have another H, like humans H something horribly. Humans... You know what I mean?
Hovering horribly.
Yeah. So I'd like to have three H's.
Okay. We'll work on that.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of three H's, are we finished with the Corrie ten Boom?
Yes.
Because I wanted just to say just a few minutes that our lovely little puppy, Elliot, he's kind of having some issues with discipline, I guess. So we've been taking him to class, and our dog trainer suggested that we go to the 4-H club in, is it the Lee County Fairgrounds or the 4-H County Fairgrounds? I don't know. But, so we went there on Saturday, 10 a.m., and it was just, I can't even describe what it was like for me. It was like heaven on earth. It was all this land.
Yeah.
As far as you could see. I mean, maybe a few farms in the distance, right?
Right.
But it was all this land and the barns for animals and the pens and all that stuff. And I thought, you know, people in the suburbs, okay, you may have, you know, 20 different Starbucks and an Arby's on every corner or whatever, but what you don't have is this. You know, for our $3, you know, we were in God's country with us and, like, what, two or three other doggies? I don't know.
Not that many.
No, and it was just all little kids because it was 4-H. But, and you had to sign, didn't you have to sign a release saying that you were the youth?
Yes. The problem was
the
our trainer goes, because we haven't been able to go on the weekdays because we've just been really, really busy and, you know, time conflicting. And so she said, come on Saturday mornings to the 4-H. It'll be okay. You'll be the only adults there. I'm like, oh, great. But we went and got through it.
And I just thought, you came up to me, Mom, they made me sign that I was a youth. That's right. But I felt so, I mean, here we are in the midst of, it, you know, just this beautiful setting. And these kids in this area get to grow up with this. You know, I guess they raise their cows or whatever 4-H'ers do. I mean, and we didn't have it in Belleville because it was city folk, you know.
Yeah, quick question. How do you spell horribly?
Horribly. HORRIBLY.
It's available.
HumansBehavingHorribly.com. Okay, for $3.99, I can own that.
Yeah. Do we want to? I don't know. I'm just saying it's available.
I'm just saying if you don't get it now, somebody
might.
Like anybody's listening. Come on.
Exactly. To us two girls talking.
Is it gone? Is it already gone, Julie? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. Somebody took it already.
Somebody took it already. Oh,
yes.
My gosh.
So I want to talk about, because I know we're getting close to the halfway part of our radio show. It's about 4th of July.
Yes.
In the States.
Yes.
It's our Freedom, Freedom Day.
It's coming next Saturday.
Yes.
Is 4th of July.
And what it represents to most of us is celebrating freedom by having barbecues and fireworks and yay, and drinking beer and having
and
fun.
We have to sing, I'm proud to be an American.
Yes.
Something with the red, white, and blue.
I wonder if this happens with every other country. Like, we have our 4th of July fireworks, and most cities do now, programmed to music, and you can listen to it on the radio.
Yes.
And that
like
is awesome.
Like being at the drive-in.
Exactly. And I think that's
maybe people don't know what the drive-in is. I don't know. We just have them here in the Midwest.
The only problem they people know what drive-ins are. Mm. I'm assuming that.
I don't know.
But it's
ask just, somebody from California. I don't know.
That's true.
They don't drive-in. What's that?
I lost my... But... We think we have freedom. You know, we know that there's always this push and pull in America about what we have freedom for and the Patriot Act and so forth. And we had a friend of ours, a dear, dear friend of ours, who was actually living and working in California, who was Canadian and came to California.
She's French-Canadian.
French-Canadian.
And her husband got a transfer to America.
Yes.
In California, Northern California.
And she just did not have the best of times. And I feel bad because our country didn't welcome her with open arms as they should have. And they did initially, but as time went by, she's like, everything here is so expensive for what you get. And
well, let's enumerate her complaints about America.
Yes.
Because she is safely...
They're valid.
Pardon me?
They're valid.
She is safely back in French-Canadian territory.
Yes.
And happy. But
yes.
But here...
Which means that where you're, you know, when you find the place that makes you happy, you get to bloom there.
Yes.
I mean, there is sometimes location is the location, location, location.
Oh,
right?
You're such a realtor.
Thank you.
Yes. But also, you're a spiritual realtor.
There you go.
Because it is where you bloom.
Yes.
It is important. So I'm going to just enumerate one, and then you enumerate one of her complaints. And So one of them was that she felt that she was going to the New Age Mecca of the world,
right,
in California, in Northern California.
Yes.
And she kind of, what do I want to say, kind of had a bloom of that, but there was that dark underbelly,
right,
that she talks about.
Yes.
Okay, your turn.
Okay. And I got the impression that she felt that we were all slaves to something else than our quality of life. Like we had to work so hard for our money. There really wasn't great health care.
Right.
Or it wasn't attainable to everybody. That we had such a diverse amount, the rich and the poor. And basically that...
Well, also, I think, too, that where her husband was working as well, they sort of had a... I got a sense that they had, like, a budget. But where he was in Canada, I mean, it was multi-million dollars.
Right.
He could just do what...
Yes.
In some sense, what was needed to do. Like, I think there was a bit of an earthquake, and so... And his job was to inspect some things. And he said, you know, I would think he would want to repair this and make this up to
right,
a certain code. And they were like, no.
No money in the budget for
no,
that.
No, just let it be if it's standing. I don't know.
Yeah.
And this was a kind of fancy schmancy place.
Yeah, four star, five
Easy,
star.
Easy, yeah. Michelin
yeah,
restaurant.
That, yeah, not just four star. Yes, exactly.
So I think that was one of her complaints, and the idea that you worked hard here,
yes,
you know, was another one. And I think, like you said, about that people were friendly as long as you had some bucks.
Yes, something to give. And it's weird because I don't really fault her for those opinions of mm-hmm. of that area. Or
we don't know the area. But,
I don't know.
But
that.
I think that, but in you know, so... Because she was saying, you know, oh, you. She was sort of angry a little bit. She said, "You Americans, you think that you're well, something like the thing, king of the world."
Number
it was
one,
kind of
yeah.
like on the Titanic.
Right.
I'm king of the world, you know.
Exactly.
And so,
as we're going down,
what we're coming up against is other people's opinions of
right.
us, you know. And I remember what you just we said about opinions, right?
Yeah.
But, and it was rather strange because, on at one point. I was feeling like all my patriotism, like, you know, welling up.
Right.
And, like, I wanted, like, well, you know, I was, like, wanting to be angry. But then I was like, okay, I can understand, you know, trying to understand. And see, you and I, we're so used to being marketed.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing that America does well is it markets everything.
Everything.
Everything. And it even markets the marketing. And,
yeah, just go onto your internet site or your emails and
yes.
say, learn how to market this, learn how to become
yes.
a great copywriter.
But I think of all the things that she said, the one thing that I had to reflect on was that I think other people in countries, like my family is Italian, and, you know, they look to quality of life.
Right.
And Americans work too hard.
We really do.
In general. Now,
yeah.
I know, like, my brother's got a good gig. My husband's brother has an excellent gig. You know, some people don't, right? But in
right.
general, to have, if your parents, if you weren't born with a silver spoon in your mouth, and if your parents weren't born with a silver spoon, and their parents were born in a different country where there was no spoons, you know, you have to work hard. In this country, and we're just used to it,
and that's what we're brought up believing too, that we must work hard to get whatever
well,
we want.
Yeah, well, the idea was that if you work hard, you could get what you wanted.
Right, and that's
now,
not necessarily
true. I'm not sure if that was the American dream.
Right,
but I'm not sure if that is anymore.
And so we're talking about this idea about quality of life,
absolutely,
and the fact that is it still attainable. But do we have to then just almost break free from the illusion that working hard can get us to that special place? That if we just work hard enough, we can attain our goals. And are our goals just not in sync with what reality can be?
Oh, I know. And didn't you tell me the other day, you were saying, Mom, the difference in terms of pain, where you're at, or and then where your goals are.
Right.
The difference is pain.
It's the amount of pain
you're in.
Yes. What your blueprint is.
Yes.
What you believe should your life be like.
Yes.
And what your life really is like. If there's a huge gap there, mm-hmm. there's a lot of pain there.
Yes.
And a lot of room for improvement. But you have two choices then. You can blame other people, or three. You either change your blueprint to expect something different in your life, or raise up where you're at.
Yes. And
they're not, neither one's easy.
No.
Mm-mm. And
but I know that, like, I just would just want to say, like, in Italy, I mean, my mom and dad would go back to my dad's hometown, and mm-hmm. there would be these long, leisurely, you know, lunches.
Right.
I mean, there would be 2-3 hours long. The wine would be flowing. And, like, people could have a small closet, but what they had, the clothes that they had were impeccable.
Right.
Were well-made, quality. So you didn't just have 90 million shirts.
Right.
You know, but you had a few good quality things. And the food would be impeccable. You know, you would make it homemade. And I remember my Nonna, she would, on Sunday afternoons, we would, you know, she'd have all the family, and there'd be this slow cooker.
Yeah.
She'd have a roast in there, and it would just, you know, and there would just be, you know, your first course would be, an antipasto or
right.
something like that. And then there'd be a soup or a salad, and then the soup, and then the meat, then the pasta,
yeah.
you know, and then the cheese, and then the fruit. You know, it would just be like a quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could enjoy, you know, yourself. And you know, it's interesting to talk about this for me because, you know, with Norm having, you know, his heart attack this year, you look at, you know, well, how do you want to live the rest of your life?
Right.
It's not like I don't want it to be like before.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we're trying to figure that out.
Because
we are. Certainly working really hard, working up many, many hours,
right.
didn't get us to this place where life was great. Life was good. Nothing bad happened. Things still happened that were out of our control that were painful. And
yes.
we couldn't work fast enough to get around them. I don't know. It's very painful to think about this stuff because I saw a brief moment of Southern Charm on Bravo, and I hate that show.
Mm-hmm.
But this one guy who has a little bar restaurant kind of thing, I guess, and he was saying, "My dad always he doesn't come across as a
no. He's not. I know who you're talking about.
And
yeah,
because my dad told me that I should always have, you know, what he would call mailbox money." Money that just comes into the mailbox. So you have a lot of things going on
mm-hmm.
that you don't have a touch,
mm-hmm.
and then they just give you money, and it comes in the mailbox.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay.
I mean, I understand that, though, because I've seen people at the post office. They just, you know, they come in, and they come out with, you know, a stack full of envelopes.
I've tried different ways of doing that. I've tried chain letters. That didn't work too well. I'm trying to figure out that.
No, I understand, though. But
so he figured that out, the quality of life.
Right.
Tim Ferriss, The 4-Hour Work Week. Mm-hmm. That book was a huge success because
I know
it was
why.
Called The 4-Hour Work Week.
That's right. And I know people who sold everything, and that didn't work out for them, though.
To try and figure that out.
The 4-Hour Work Week.
Yeah.
No,
uh-uh.
And because I don't know if it's, you know, in terms of America, I do think, though, there is the haves and the have-nots.
Yeah.
And there are people that can work that 4-hour work week or whatever
right.
it is and get it. They either have enough capital
right.
to play big. But so we, people like you and me, and probably the majority of people, must learn to choose quality of life over the bucks.
And
you
I
know?
Think that's really brave, and I think it's scary as hell because you're having to then really figure out a new way of living.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, a new way of living without the earbuds in your ears, without, you know, 99 million devices Right. You know, that, oh, God forbid you'd be, quote-unquote, bored one moment.
Right.
I mean, and, you know, I think in Italy they even have this movement called slow food movement. Maybe it's not a movement. Maybe it's always been. But, you know, like you said last week, don't get your fuel where you buy your fuel.
Right.
I mean, there's just this idea. What's coming through to me is, like, again, a quality of life where, you know, you can have fresh food. You have the time to make
right.
a fresh food. You have a time to have a conversation with people.
Yeah.
You know, that, and I remember when my girlfriends, we would just call each other up.
Right.
Now you have to have an appointment.
I know.
You know, just like, oh, who's calling me? Oh, my gosh. And, well, even, to be honest, we don't even use our home phone.
No. No, exactly.
Yeah.
Nobody calls except for telemarketers. And people saying the IRS is suing you.
Oh, yeah. More spam people.
Yes.
Crazy.
Thank
people.
God our accountant goes, the IRS is not calling on the phone and threatening
yeah.
to sue you.
Yes. They just wanted and all they wanted was your Social Security
all
number.
All they wanted was your little Social Security number.
Yeah.
That's all they wanted.
So that's America for you.
Yep.
You know, we don't have a shadow government, do we?
No,
we don't have planes that are, what do they call those things that do the sky stuff? And I can't think of it right now, that the jet stream.
Oh,
or,
yes. No, you're talking about... Oh, I can't. Now you've got me confused.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah, the spreading, you know, spraying
yeah,
stuff.
Spraying stuff. And
yeah.
Yeah, there are no hidden tunnels under Colorado. And,
yes.
And the Colorado airport isn't really a
crazy
ritual place of demonic, you know.
Yeah. You know, can I...
I'm proud to be an American.
We're kind of getting close to the end of our show. We've got
really?
About 8 minutes left.
No way.
Yeah, we do.
Whoa.
And I just want to talk about my epiphany I had this week.
Is that like an opinion?
Yes, it is.
I'm going to keep doing this, girlfriend.
I know. Well, we have been talking for the last several weeks about that phrase that Deepak Chopra talked about, that every, you know, our goal in life is to go higher and higher in transcendence in our spiritual life, and that we do that through these obstacles or conflicts that occur in our life because, as Einstein states, every problem cannot be solved at the level of the problem. It must
That's
be
right.
solved at a higher
so,
level.
So life is inviting you to evolve.
Exactly. And so therefore, unwillingly or unknowingly, we are actually inviting conflicts and problems to occur. So therefore, we can evolve, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the other day I said to you, I'm at my max. I'm so tired. I am at my max. And as soon as those words came out of my mouth, I realized that I was playing at the same level as my problems.
Yes.
And I wasn't looking at them at a higher level. And I said, "How, Julie, watch your tongue. Watch your tongue, because if you're at your max,
mm-hmm.
then you're not looking for expansion.
Right.
And all these things that you've got going on
are
going to
stay there
until you figure out how to look at them at a higher level.
That's right.
And get through them.
Absolutely.
Because what you want is on the other side of this stuff.
Take that lid off, girlfriend.
So when I say if you use that phrase in your life, I'm just at my max.
Mm-hmm.
Can't take one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
Back away from it and then go, okay, really, what do I need to do?
Mm-hmm.
What do I need to do?
I had an interesting epiphany this week, too, that life is, that those obstacles and things like that are like slingshots.
Yes.
That, you know, when you've pulled back mm-hmm. as far as you can go and you think, I can't go any lower than this.
Right.
Then life invites you to let go and go further than what you would have normally gone if you just would have gone up the rung of the stepladder.
Right. Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Yeah. That was mine.
I thought it was fabulous. You're so brilliant.
Thank you.
Sometimes I'm blinded by your brilliance and your light
oh,
that you shine.
Can you blinded by mybrilliance.com?
I can look that up.
Can try that?
Yes.
Humans behaving horribly. Not just badly, horribly.
Humans behaving horribly. I'm amazed that's
gonna
available.
That's going to be my coloring book.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. If I were a superhero, I would be human behaving horribly.
Horrible human.
Mm.
You know, I'm also trying this 21-day fast.
You're on a 21-day fast.
Yes. Fast
but
from swearing.
Not from food.
No.
That
will come from later.
Yeah.
But from swearing.
Yes.
I do feel like a truck driver,
unfortunately. Girlfriend, you've been swearing like a truck driver lately.
I've been very embarrassed by it, because I'm not offended by swear words. I really am not. But the other day I said a sentence that I swear there were probably only three words that were not swear words.
I know.
Words.
You said a couple of C words and an S word. No, two S words. And, of course, several F words.
Yes.
And then you said something like air conditioning.
Yeah.
Or something like...
something.
And this was to the mechanic.
Yeah, exactly.
He picks his jaw up.
And I'm like, oh, thanks for all your hard work.
And have a good day.
I said good day, sir. And so it was funny because I claimed to you that I'm going to stop swearing. And really, it has been difficult for me.
And if people, you know, you tried the rubber band thing. I've been seeing you change the rubber band from wrist to wrist.
Yes.
Maybe if it would... You know, hurt in your wallet, dear one.
I was just going to say that. I'm saying all my friends and family, if they hear me swear, I owe them $1.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be a motivator.
That could be, but yes. you know, we don't know you. We know you're not good for that.
Or we don't want to take your last dollar.
Yeah, really. Oh, Julie she had to use the F word, and that was her last dollar.
That was her last dollar. But it was funny because I was just, through that process, I had opened up Edwin Gaines' book, The Four Prosperity Laws.
The Four Laws of Prosperity.
That's it, Four Laws of Prosperity.
Yeah, that's a great book. It's tiny,
yes.
tiny, but Edwina Gaines. Some people, we've never met her, but some people we know her.
I love her.
Yes.
And so I opened the book up, and just by chance. She was talking about the 21-day fast.
I know. Now, come on.
From negative thinking, from complaining.
Okay, but that's life telling you something, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, that's if you're open to the cosmic universe stuff, you know, you open that book to a 21-day fast as you had just started one.
Yes.
But she was doing it from complaining.
Yes. And because it takes energy away from you.
Yes.
And that you can't get to the next level, have expansion, have growth, when you're expelling all this energy, complaining,
yeah.
with negative thoughts, and for me, swearing. And I'm doing this challenge, and I will get there.
And Dr. Caroline Leaf, who, you know, we follow, and she's got some great books out. When you are in those negative places, when you are complaining, you're actually, and she's been a neuroscientist for like 30-something years, you're actually damaging your brain.
Yeah.
And she shows you how that happens. And when you see that, you go, oh, my God, I don't want to do that to myself.
No.
I don't want to do that.
No.
I want to start having these, you know, clear thoughts and not judgy and not complaining and all these not stuff, right?
But, right.
But we're proud to be an American.
Yes.
We're proud to live in the Midwest.
Yes, we are. We're proud to be an American.
You know, is there something American about bison too?
Yes, they were in the prairies.
The home of the free. No, wait, aren't there bison in that song? Oh, the buffalo roam.
Yes,
not the bison.
No,
but they could be one and the same.
And everybody just ignore the fact my mom says bison. She loves that. And I've tried to correct her, but I'm just like...
But I'm Italian.
I know.
I'm Italian. I have to say Bison.
That's right.
Hey, Bisano. It's the Bison. They're right across the street from us.
Exactly. And they roam free.
That's right.
With electrical fence around them.
Now, so see, that is America.
That's America. Thank you.
You are free to roam, people, but... There is an invisible electric fence around you.
Exactly. So be careful.
When you try to get out of your world, you get a little shock.
And there it is.
And there it is. You know what, Julie? We solved the problems of the universe.
And it's exactly the time we should end our show.
Oh, is it?
So thank you, everyone, for listening to Life with the Girlfriends. You can get our book, The Clutterfly Effect, Tweak Your Way to Total transformation by decluttering your life.
On Amazon.com.
Amazon.com.
And, you know, even though we lost humansbehavinghorribly.com, I think the show was great. Don't you think it was great?
And it was great.
Okay, careful. It was great. It was great.